So obviously we have a team in India because they're communicating to us. And there's a bunch of pictures and different things, but we're gonna show some of those on Tuesday night, just for time's sake and everything else. But there are a couple videos, some short ones, from our wonderful children in Rajahmundry. The volume up. Then there's another video.
Happy Mother's Day!
Love you, babe. Bye. Bye.
So those are our wonderful children from the children's home on both sides there, which they're just a lot of fun and everything else. So yes. And then there is also an announcement video that Bethany has created.
Hi, welcome to Frontline Worship Center. Check out these upcoming events. On Tuesday, we have soaking here at Frontline Worship Center from 5 till 7. This is an opportunity for you to rest in the presence of God and hear Him speak to you personally. Then from 7 till 9, we have our Fire and Wind Worship Service. On Wednesday, we have the Anti-Human Trafficking Lunch Hour Prayer going on here at Frontline from noon till 1. So you're invited to come on out, bring your lunch, and pray for the ending of human trafficking in our region and around the world. On Friday, we have the healing rooms here at Frontline from 7 till 8:30. So if you or a loved one are in need of healing and would like to receive prayer, come on out. Then on Sunday, we'll be having our global day of prayer that's going to be held here at Frontline starting at 6 p.m. So come on out. And mark your calendars for these upcoming events. On the 20th, we have the Lighthouse Prayer here at Frontline, starting at 7 o'clock and going till 8:30. On Friday, the 27th, we have Healing Rooms here at Frontline from 7 till 8:30. Then on Saturday, the 28th, we have the Young Adult Edge Bible Study here at Frontline. From 6 till 7, we have a free coffee house, and then from 7 till 9, we have worship and a message. All young adults are welcome. You take care, and I'll see you next week. Bye!
Andy. Kingdom kids are released to go to their kingdom lands. Good morning once again. I think it's still morning, just barely. The Lord is just so good and so faithful. He is amazing. I hope you've been feasting on the message that you heard last Sunday. Rachel's message was full, heavy, rich. I myself have listened to it at least 4 times. And in case you missed it, I encourage you to listen to it again. She covered the purpose of sacrifice, the joy of sacrifice, the exponential power of sacrifice. And there was so many things that spoke to my heart, that ministered to me, that challenged me, that got me very joyful and slap happy, and it's just really good. So I encourage you to really listen to that if you didn't. If you did, listen to it again until it all becomes real. But there was a couple things that stood out to me. There needs to be something, me, my sacrifice, on the altar so the fire never burns out. When she spoke that out, it was like something we know, but it was just fresh, a fresh drink of that truth. If we don't want our altar to burn out, then we need to be on there. And then my favorite, it's logical, rational, and intelligent to give ourselves fully to Him because He is worthy. It's logical, rational, and intelligent. And I love that. And I love it. And it's just so good and so powerful. And this morning, I just believe that the Lord wants to take us even in deeper into that. But I'm going to pray before I take off. And Lord, I just thank you, Holy One, for your presence, Lord. I just thank you for who you are. I thank you, Lord, that you are a living God, Lord Jesus, that is here this morning to meet with us. Lord, that you are here to meet with us, Father, that is what church is, Lord, a meeting place, a holy ground, a time set apart for us and you, Lord, to commune together. So I thank you, Lord, that you are here and that we showed up. So I thank you, Lord, that your purposes and your plans, Father, will be accomplished this morning, Lord. We just thank you, Father, that you are here, that you're here, that you're here, Lord. You're here. You're here, Holy One. I just thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, once again. Just, Father, help me to articulate your heart, Lord. Help me to articulate your heart this morning. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As I said, just been meditating and having fun with the Lord, and I just believe that this morning our King wants us to know that we are to live the life, that we are to live the life that we were created for, not to live the life that we've been handed, not the life that we've become comfortable with, not the life that we've become satisfied with, not the life that has been dictated potentially by our fears and our pain, but that we live the life that we were created for, that he is a living God that has called us to live a life, to live a life, to live a rich life, a big life, a big, big life. And as I thought about the Sunday being Mother's Day and, you know, started that conversation with the Lord of what was on his heart for today, I think I was driving somewhere, and I had a thought. It's usually how my messages go. I start a conversation with the Lord, and a thought comes. And to some, this might be a very familiar thought, but to me, it was a moment of revelation, of understanding, of my eyes being opened up. But Mother Heart of God, I've heard that term before. And my spirit has always understood it. It's always made sense in the inside of who I am. I've heard that. That's truth. That's right. It's accurate. Have no idea what that means. Mentally, couldn't explain it to you, but I know it's true. So as I had that thought of the Mother Heart of God, as I continued my moment with the Lord, you know, it was just a question I felt from the Lord. Well, what do you think of when you think of a mom, you know, kind of what makes a mom a mom? And I said, I guess life, Lord, the ability to conceive, to carry, and to deliver life. And then that's when, like, a ton of bricks, of awesome bricks hit me. John 11, 25, 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? In the message, you don't have to wait for the end. I am right now resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. And everyone who lives believing in me does not ultimately die at all. Do you believe this? In the Amplified, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, adheres to, trusts in, relies on me as Savior, will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives in me, who believes in me as Savior, will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And then the Lord took me to John 1 through 5. I believe this one's in the NASME. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And one more time in the message, the Word was first, the Word present to God, God present to the Word. The Word was God, in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. And what came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness, and darkness couldn't put it out. The Mother Heart of God. That, there, I'm sure there's more to cover, different levels and facets to that. But the revelation was that the mother heart of God is the fact that he is life. He is the giver of life. He carries it. He conceives it. He delivers it. He sustains it because he is the resurrection and he is life. And that is the life that we were created to live. I want to live the life that I was created for. In Genesis 2:7, the Amplified, then the Lord God formed, that is, that, then the Lord God formed, that is, created the body of man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being, an individual, complete in body and spirit. Complete in body and spirit. And the Lord wants us to live the life that we were created for. And that life is not just a plain Jane life. It's resurrection life. It's resurrection life. So this morning, this is for all ears, you know, for all hearts. Not just for literal moms, not just for women. You know, this isn't just for, you know, what I just said. But this is for everyone. If you are breathing this morning, this message is for you on this Mother's Day. That there is a call, there is a beckoning, there's an invitation to live the life. To live the life, to live the life that we were created for. To live that resurrection life, to live that resurrection life that is full, that is abundant, that is big, that's rich, that's deep, that's high, that is rocking my world at every moment. I did some investigative work yesterday. I was trying to remember what year this happened in my life, and I think I've come to a conclusion. Could be wrong, but the Lord will help me correct that later. I believe I was in Belgium in 2001. There was a little, I believe that is accurate. To the best of my understanding and knowledge, I believe I was in Belgium in 2001. It might have been 2000. I'm thinking it's 2001. Anyway. I had already met Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat at the time, and the crew, the beginnings of the crew, Christy, Josh, Troy. There were several others. I had already met them, and I had already traveled with them before we were officially Frontline. I had traveled to Ghana in 1999 and then in 2000. But in 2001, I wasn't able to travel back to Ghana because I was invited to return to Belgium. I had been in Belgium in 1998. In 1998, I went as an armor bearer for the pastors, my pastors in Arizona at the time. And in 2001, I was invited back to speak at a youth conference. It was a college-age young adult conference. Overnight, we stayed in a school, a college, an institute, a colegio, a university, I don't know. And so it was like a 2 or 3 day young adult conference. Anyway, at the time, I was serving as a youth pastor in Arizona, so I had some experience, you know, speaking in front of groups, usually teenagers, and a small group. So I had some experience, but I was not used to speaking in front of a very large group, especially through a translator. So that was one of the dynamics that was involved in that situation. The second was I was the only female speaker. I believe there was a total of 3 speakers for that weekend. And I was the only female. I was the youngest and I was a female. This bit was told to me after the conference, which I thank the Lord God Almighty, and this was his wisdom. But they didn't tell me that apparently several groups that were coming dropped off their registration when they found out that there was a woman that was going to be speaking, a young woman speaking at the conference. So they had several churches, ministries, groups, people that said, nope, thank you, goodbye. I didn't know that until after I spoke, which is probably, again, good at that time in my life. And so the other dynamic was that the one speaker that I can remember, and the only reason why I remember is because I was very intimidated. It was an older gentleman. I was in my 20s. He was probably 40s, 50s. But, you know, he was the leader, pastor, director of a ministry of a church, and I was supposed to speak after him. And so, yes. Lord, what are you doing to me? What is happening right now? Are you sure this is serious? Can you hear me? Are you sure this is what should be happening right now in this moment in Belgium? Because I felt so small and I felt so inadequate in myself. The theme of the conference was actually revival. So it was good, all about revival. But, you know, it's such a broad, you know, topic. Speak on revival. Okay, can you narrow that, you know, narrow it down just a little bit to kind of help me? Oh, no, just revival. So I did what I do when I prepare for a message, which is I got on my face and on my knees, and I cried out to Jesus, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. And at the time, the word that I kept hearing as I'm in, everybody else, the group, I had brought a group of the youth group that I was pastoring came with me. And everybody else stayed in dorm rooms, and since I was a speaker, they gave me my own little room. And so there in this very strange little room with strange sounds and smells, you know, if you've been anywhere beside your house, you know, so I was in there just, Lord, please help me. Jesus, please help me. Oh, Lord God Almighty, please help me. I'm supposed to speak tomorrow, and there's lots of, you know, you can just imagine. But the words that I kept hearing was, you can't be revived if you haven't died. How can you be revived if you haven't died? A living person doesn't need to be revived because they're alive. Only dead ones do. Boom, there was my message. Thank you, Jesus. So I was feeling a little better, more confident, still very nauseous and all that. You know, and again, it was, Lord, I'm, you know, 23 years old. I'm from Arizona. Jesus, help me. But I climbed on the altar that night in that strange little room, and I wanted to live the life that he created me for in that moment. I wanted to be used in whatever fashion he wanted to use me, in whatever way he wanted to use me. Even if that meant like I felt like an idiot, like a fool, it didn't matter. I wanted his name to be glorified. I wanted his kingdom to be furthered. I wanted people to come into an understanding of who he is, of a loving, mighty, powerful God. And because of that, I made a decision. How can I release revival? How can I release resurrection life if I was hiding from it? If I was hiding from living the life that he created me for? So before I could get out there and, hey, everybody, revival for Jesus, I had to deal with that first in that room. I had to be willing to say, Lord, I'm climbing up on the altar with my fears and my insecurities, with my questions, with my doubts, with everything that is Cynthia at this moment. I need to get on that altar. I need to be on that altar so that you, Jesus, can help me, strengthen me, empower me, anoint me to live in this moment the life that you created me for. So needless to say, the conference was on, and it was good, and it was awesome, and the Lord showed up in an awesome way, and it wrecked me in the best way possible, because to see the faithfulness of God, to see him demonstrated, to see his young people, you know, responding to him in that moment, because I said yes in that room, scared out of my little mind, because there was a response to the invitation, because there was a yes, Lord, use me, Lord, use me, Lord. And to see the fruit of that was just, it forever transformed me. It changed me. it changed me. So in my investigative work yesterday, when I was trying to figure out, was it 2000, 2001, I was looking through my old Yahoo email account, and it was fun. Time-consuming, but it was fun. But in that process of digging, I actually came across something that I debated going back and forth about reading, but once again, yes, Lord. So apparently, in Thursday, November 20th, 2003, I responded to Lawrence, who at the time has sent out a group email to a bunch of us people. He was writing a paper for school. He was a student at Mount Union at the time. We weren't in love yet. We were in process. But he sent out the email, hey guys, I'm doing a, he went to Mount Union for religious studies? There we go. Anyway, so he sent it was, guys, I have a paper, can you write, he was trying to get together testimonies of people and why they love Jesus, basically. So apparently I responded, and I said on my reply to him, I'm not really sure, but here you go. So I found this, and I want to read it because it so amazingly fits with living the life that God created us for. Okay. So this is in 2003. Who would have ever thought that it's been over a year since I lived here in Ohio? Not me. Having been born and raised in a small town in Arizona, being one of the five mouths to feed by a hardworking cowboy and a loving housewife, Ohio was not in my vocabulary. I guess my journey began at 16 when I ventured out into new territory. I decided to travel that Christmas break to Acapulco, Mexico, and my life was forever changed. Having looked into the eyes of desperation, having gazed upon the face of hunger, having seen the tears of pain, and having smelled the stenches of fear, and having heard the voice of bitterness, I was shaken to my very core and stirred up with many questions. What should my response be? How can I help? Do I have the answer? How could I bring peace to those eyes? What could satisfy that hunger? What would wipe away their tears? What could bring security to them? What could bring joy? Was it dead words in some book? Maybe another good sermon would do it. Maybe more arguments of unfounded theories. Or maybe, just maybe, the answer wasn't in what so much as in who. In Acapulco, my eyes were opened to the reality of life and its scars. Acapulco was the first glimpse of what laid ahead of me, a glimpse of the most impossible, unrealistic, unattainable future for me. For the first time in my life, my mother's religion became mine. My pastor's faith became mine. And the words read from the Bible became alive. And what used to be a notion in my mind became a knowing in my heart. The knowing that Jesus Christ is the true and living God and is more than a good thought, more than a good story, and more than a figment. He is alive and applicable to the here and the now. That he can and will take that emptiness and fill it. That he can take the lies and pain and turn them into joy everlasting. How can I say this? Because he did it for me. My life would not be the same. I have heard so many say, without the Lord, I don't know where I would be. I say, without the Lord, I know exactly where I would be. And it wouldn't be here writing this. I would be a walking zombie. Thinking I knew what living was all about, when in reality I would be bouncing around from fix to fix, trying not to stare in the mirror too long. Now at the age of 25, I find myself having stared at the face of emptiness time after time, whether I was in Texas, Arizona, Louisiana, Washington, Tennessee, Indiana, Ohio, Croatia, Guatemala, Sinaloa, Belgium, Ghana, Mozambique, South Africa, or simply staring at the mirror, the need in everyone's life is evident. What people need, what I need every day, is to discover and live in the treasure of unconditional love and true power, which is only found in God Almighty through His Son Jesus. In my short years of life, I have been told time and time again, Cynthia, you're crazy. Why do you do what you do? Why don't you just get a normal job and get married? Such a waste. Why don't you just stay in one place? Why do you waste your time with all that religious stuff? That's just it. It's not religious stuff for me. It's my life. Real, 24/7, 365. I just can't be normal because I know that Jesus is true life. I know so much that it's worth my entire life. Nothing compares or even comes close to a relationship with Jesus. What seems so impossible to me has been very possible with Him. Believe me, for one who has lived it and continues to live it every day, experiencing and living in the goodness and the love of the Lord will turn you right side up. I don't know if Lawrence ever used it, which is okay if he didn't. But going back and reading this for myself, that at being able to see the goodness of God, that even then, His message is the same, that even then, living the life that we were created for, that is what it's about. It's owning that relationship with the Lord, owning our relationship with Him. Not just, you know, not just, it's my mom. My mom is here with me this Mother's Day, and I'm so blessed to have her here. She's usually in Arizona. You know, there had to be a point where my mom's faith, my pastor's faith became mine. It had to become mine. Somebody's testimony had to become mine. It had to become mine. I had to own it. I had to live it. I had to want it. I couldn't keep pretending to be a Christian and not understand what that meant. I had to stop living off of other people's glory and goodness. I wanted my own. I wanted to live that life. I want to still live that life that I'm created for. That life of faith, that life that calls things out, that it doesn't, I don't see it, but I'm calling it out. Resurrection life. You call it out, you call it forth. You live it, you breathe it, you eat it. So the journey, my conversation with the Lord continued, and I heard something from Lisa Brevere. She's wife of John Brevere. We watched his Bait of Satan video here. I was listening to something related to something else, but she drew my attention to something, and I feel like the Lord expanded it to me in regards to living this life. So she was talking about Samuel in 1 Samuel 3 when the boy Samuel's called by God. You know that he's the boy Samuel is serving under Eli's direction, and there's, you know, nighttime, bedtime, and Samuel hears. Then God called out, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Yes, I'm here." And then he ran to Eli, saying, "I heard you call. Here I am." And Eli say, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And so he did. So there was a second time that God called, "Samuel, Samuel. I heard you call, here I am." And again Eli said, "Son, I didn't call you, go back to bed." This is happening before Samuel knew to hear God for himself. God called again, "Samuel," the third time. Yet again Samuel woke up and went to Eli. "Yes, I heard you call me, here I am." Then it dawned on Eli that it was God calling the boy. He said, "Go back and lie down. If the voice calls again, say, 'Speak, God, I'm your servant. Ready to listen.' Speak, God, I'm your servant, ready to listen." Samuel returned to his bed. Then God came and stood before him, exactly as before, calling out, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Speak, I'm your servant, ready to listen." God said to Samuel, listen carefully. I'm getting ready to do something in Israel that is going to shake everyone up and get their attention. And the scripture goes on. But what drew my attention for the first time, and again, it was a nudge from Lisa's Brevere, what she was talking about. But when the Lord, that just as when the Lord called out Samuel, 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 you know, that the Lord calls us out. Cynthia, Cynthia, you know, here I am. And we present ourselves, right? Here I am. We hear the voice calling. We hear the salvation message. We are listening to it now, or we did 50 years ago, 3 months ago. So we can hear the initial call. We can hear the initial call. We can hear the initial whisper. So we say, here I am. Here I am. And then sometimes we run to something that we think is calling us, but that thing or that person isn't the one calling us. But we continue to say, here I am, here I am. And I believe if you've said yes to Jesus, you heard the call, you showed up, and you're saying, here I am. But for the first time, the second part was highlighted, that finally the instruction is, next time you hear your name, don't just say, here I am. Say, speak. Your servant is here, ready to listen. And I believe that that is when we step into living that life that we were created for. When we answer the initial call, we say yes to Jesus. We say yes to life. But when we start to respond, not only am I here, Lord, but speak, your servant is listening and ready to obey. Then we start living the life that we were created for, because we're saying, yes, God, but I am ready. I'm ready to listen. I am ready to walk out what you have called me to. I'm ready to live the life that you created me for. And this morning, I just believe that the Lord wants to take us from showing up, which is great and awesome and beautiful and wonderful and amazing and miraculous and supernatural. And we can stay there showing up. Here I am, God. Here I am. You called me out of my sin. Here I am. Here I am. And it'll be a good life, and it will be a satisfying life. But there is more. There's living the resurrection life. It's saying, Lord God Almighty, King of this universe, your servant is here, ready to move when you say move, ready to stay when you say stay, ready to be a fool when you say be a fool, ready to be intelligent when you say be intelligent. Live the life. Ready to live the life. In the beginning, I read John 11, 25 and 26. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said to her. And that is actually from the account of the death of Lazarus. So I'm going to go there. I'm not going to read all of it, but it's John 11, and I'm going to, I'll probably end up reading some of it. But in this account, there's a man named Lazarus who was sick. His sisters were Martha and Mary. He became sick, and this Mary whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume out on the feet of Jesus and wiped her feet with her hair. You heard a little bit about that sacrifice last Sunday. I just found it awesome. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, your loved one is sick. So the word gets to Jesus that he's sick. And the Lord, when he heard this, Jesus said, the sickness will not end in death. Now it is for God's glory, so that God's son may be glorified in it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. Because he loved them, he stayed for two more days. There's a whole other message in there. So then Jesus waits. He goes. He goes to Lazarus. He goes to where they are. Upon his arrival, he's talking to Martha, and then he goes and gets Martha, and they're both like, "Lord, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died." And Jesus says to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." She's like, "Well, I know he's, you know, he'll live in eternity with you." Jesus says to her, "That's when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and the one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" So the Lord is saying, yes, you're right. He will live in eternity, because even when we die, we're really living. But do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? "Yes, Lord," she replied, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into this world." So then she went and got Mary. Mary comes and has a conversation with Jesus. You know, again, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" "Come see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, "Could not he open the eyes of a blind man, have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, "the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, and for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I say this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and clothed around his face. Jesus said to him, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." I have it in a couple other versions, but I think you're tracking with me. That there was the calling out, "Lazarus, come out." And there was the response, "Lazarus came out." But did Jesus say, "Okay, glad you're alive, kiddo, see you later"? He said, "Take the grave clothes off, because this man is now living." And again this morning, he's called us out. He says, "Cynthia, come out of your sin and death. Susie, Lucy, Bob, Joe, Mary, everybody." He's called us out of our graves. But this morning, he's saying, "Take off your grave clothes." Any part of us that is still wrapped up, maybe we're still fully wrapped up because we've only gotten as far as saying, "Here I am, Jesus, save me." And this morning he's saying, "Take the grave clothes off, Cynthia. Unwrap yourself. Somebody unwrap her. This woman is living." Or maybe it's our thinking. Maybe half of our bodies are unwrapped, but our mind is still wrapped with this grave clothes that continues to battle thoughts of death, thoughts of darkness, thoughts of deception, thoughts of the pit of hell. Or maybe it's a body part that isn't up to par. Maybe it's our emotions, whatever part of us. I just believe that the Lord is saying that he wants us to step into that resurrection power. "It's been 4 days, Lord. He's going to smell bad. Jesus, I've had this mentality for 29 years, for 60 years, for 3 months. Jesus, you don't understand my circumstances. It's been so long of the same garbage." Jesus is saying, "Do you believe I am the resurrection and the life, that I am able to pierce the darkness and cause forth life mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually? I am the resurrection and I am the life," says Jesus. Do we believe this? Do I believe this? Do I believe it? Then, it's only then that we can start releasing others into living that life. My grave clothes have to be off so that I can release life into others. You know, the Lord has blessed me with Lawrence, an amazing man that I am passionately and deeply in love with. But I want him to live the life that he was created for. I want to release him. I want to encourage him. I want to stir him. I want to remind him of that. I want to do whatever it takes for him to live the life that Lawrence was created for. Not as Cynthia's husband, as Lawrence Liptak, Lawrence Michael Liptak, as the man that God created him to be. I want him to live that life. So whatever that means, whatever that looks like, whatever. And yes, it's a sacrifice. Emotionally and mentally on my end, yes, it's a sacrifice. Because right now he's in India and he's not here. And of course, I would love to just have my best friend with me 24/7. And I would just want him with me because he's hilarious and awesome and handsome and wonderful. But as Rachel reminded us last Sunday, there is purpose in sacrifice. There is joy and there is power. So the sacrifices that I think are so world, you know, revolutionizing are feeding into Lawrence being the man that God created him to be. And I want to be able to do that because the Lord literally gave the man of my dreams to me. And I've come to understand that it's not just for me to hold him and hug him and squeeze him and hold him so tight that I squeeze the life out of him and he withers away and becomes just a shell of a Lawrence. He didn't give me Lawrence for that reason. He didn't give me 4 awesome children so I can just hold them and hug them and squeeze them and love them. And then they wither away and they're just shells of children. He blessed me with those relationships. He didn't give me friendships just so I could feel good. Cynthia has friends. Ooh, I mean, that's awesome and I love it. And yes, please. But that's not where it ends. He gave me friends, not so I can squeeze you and hug you and love you until you wither away, but so I can say, remember who you are. Remember that you are a son and a daughter. Remember, live the life that you were created for. Lawrence Liptak, live the life that you're created for. Isabella, Eliana, Noah, all the 4 of you, I think I got them all. Live the life that you were created for. And Lawrence does that for me. He wants me to be the Cynthia and live the life that God created Cynthia to be in partnership with him, absolutely. But I still have to live the life that I was created for. And he reminds me of that all day, every day, in fun ways and intense ways and happy ways and sneaky ways and obvious ways. All the way from India, all week, reminding me who you are. Step into who you are. Yes, you're nervous. Yes, it's crazy. Yes, yes, yes. Forget all that. Be who you are, Cynthia. Be who you are, an anointed one by God, just like each of us are. And we need to be that for each other. We need to be that spur on of live the life that you're created for. And maybe you're single. It doesn't change a thing. It does not. Live your singleness fully alive. This is the reason, this is the season, excuse me, for you and the Lord. Treasure it, value it, own it, love it, jump into it. Fall in love so deeply and so intensely with the Lord that it attracts your mate from wherever they are and it pulls them from the future into the now. Live the life that you were created for. Let life touch every relationship that you're a part of. Let life be in every circumstance that we encounter. It doesn't matter, single, married, big, short, brown, yellow, purple. It does not matter. We live the life that we were created for. That's when everything changes. That's when the glory of God comes. That's when we are so satisfied to sit at the feet of Jesus because we're so in love with him. Because that's what living the life is loving him above all things. It's before I am a wife, before I am a mom, before I'm Cynthia Liptak, VP of Administrations at Frontline Ministries, before all of that,
I am a daughter of my God, and I need to love him, and I need to live for him so I can be the mom, so I can be the wife, so I can be the administrator. Before we're doctors, before we're lawyers, before we're veterinarians, before we are fathers, mothers, CEOs, CFOs, before we're all of that, before, so then I can function. So then I can fulfill those roles the way God intended me to fulfill them. It's not about, I want to become the engineer that such and such. Yes, yes, and yes. But before that, fall in love with Jesus. Before that, live the life that you were created for. And you will be the most amazing engineer that the world has ever seen. Because you're doing it for him. Because you're doing it in him with his life breathing through you.
Yes, Lord. Rachel made reference to this in her message. Last week in her message about Elijah, in the account of Elijah and interacting with the widow. So Elijah ends up raising the widow's son. The widow fed him because the Lord God Almighty designed it that way. And in that process, her son dies. What do I have to do with you, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my iniquity to remembrance and put my son to death. He said to her, give me your son. Then he took him up from her bosom and carried him up to the upper room where he was living and laid on his own bed. He called to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you always brought calamity to the widow with who I am, staying by causing her son to die? Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and called to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray you, let this child's life return to him. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he revived. Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son is alive. Then the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are the man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is true. You know, Elijah hadn't seen that before, as Rachel shared with us. This is the first time that somebody was raised from the dead. He hadn't seen that before. He didn't look up in the manual, if you find a dead person, lay on top of him three times and call it. There was nothing. There was no training. There was no education. He hadn't seen it before. But he stepped into it. He said, Lord, there's a dead child here. What is going on? This isn't your heart. This isn't right. Lord God Almighty, the one who created me can create, return life. And so he did. He jumped on the little guy and said, come on, kiddo, wake up. He lived in that moment. He lived the life that he was created for, to release life into someone who was literally dead. In that moment, he owned it. In that moment, he was able to say, by faith, I don't see it. I literally see a dead person in front of me, Jesus. But I know that you are life, that you are the resurrection, and you are the life. So I command this child to live. And what was the widow's response? Because you have released life, now I know that you are a man of God. Because you release life in every day, people know that you are a son and a daughter of God Almighty. Because you release life at work, because you release life at home, because you release life in all those relationships mentioned a few minutes ago, because you declare life over yourself when it's a poopy day, then people will know that you are a child of God. Because you give life, you release life, you command life, you live a life. You know, in John 10:10, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And the Lord says, I have come to give life and life abundant.
You know, in our relationships, in our circumstances, the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. Death looks like something. Division, bitterness, anger, resentment. And the Lord is saying, that's the enemy. My heart is to give you full life. Full life. As I mentioned, I have the pleasure, blessing, amazing mom here with me this morning. And for some of us, we have that mom in our lives. For some of us, we don't, whether by relational circumstances or by loss. As you all, I think, all know, I have my mom, but I don't have my dad. But all that rang in my heart, which I believe I've shared this before, when my dad passed away, is did I love him well? And I implore you, encourage you, if you have your mama living today, love her well. If you have your daddy living today, love him well. If you have your friend next to you, love them well. Love them well into life. Love them well into life. You know, and in every area that the enemy has stolen from us, and maybe it is a life that he has stolen from us. Maybe it is our moms. Maybe it is a child. Maybe it is in our loss, and as we grieve and as we heal, the Lord's invitation is still the same. Live the life. Live the life that I created you for. That's when his name is glorified even more, because our circumstances are so dark, because loss is so intense, because it's literal, it's death. But when we can live life even in those moments, as he's healing our hearts, as we're grieving, as we're saying, Jesus, hold me, love me, and kiss me, even in those dark moments, that's when we need to live the life that we were created for. No, it's not easy. No, it's not comfortable. No, it's not what I want to do. But when we do it, oh, how sweet and glorious and wonderful it is. And the Lord wants to touch those areas of our life this morning. He wants to breathe life into the dead things, into the parts of our heart that are in that grave clothes. Any part of us where dead things lie, the Lord this morning wants to resurrect it. This morning the Lord wants to breathe his breath of life into you, through you, for you, because of his name, because of who he is. Rachel also mentioned, you know, the cloud by day and the fire by night, that at the command of the Lord, the people moved. That was so really, I'm still feasting on that. Live the life that we were created for at his command. We can still live in the waiting. We're waiting for things to happen. We're waiting for things to unfold. We're waiting for promises to be fulfilled. We're waiting, we're waiting, we're waiting. And this morning I'm saying, and we can still live the life that we were created for in the waiting. We can live. We're not on hold. We're not on pause. We're not on wait. You know, we live in that moment. We live while we're waiting. We live while we're doing busy things. It's a constant response to the invitation of being a life releaser at the command of the Lord, whether it be to millions or to one or the one in front of us. At the command of the Lord that I move. At the command of the Lord I stay. At the command of the Lord I wait. In the command of the Lord, I cry. In the command of the Lord, I laugh. That at his command, his loving command, his firm loving command. You know, that's true flexibility. We always hear that word around here. We need to be flexible and we need to flow with Holy Spirit. Yes and amen. But what does that really mean? That license and permission to live the life, you know, oh, well, I'm, you know, just being flexible. I'm just flowing. Or does it mean that I am ready to serve at the command of my God? That's flexibility. That's true flexibility. Like Rachel said, they didn't know when they were coming and going. That cloud did its thing.
That was our cue to move, to stay or go, to stay or go. That's flexibility. Lord, in my life, am I moving? Or we're very funny people. We can get bitter and angry at the Lord because the cloud is moving, but then we're bitter and angry because the cloud's not moving. We're mad because he's telling us to move, but then we're mad when he's not telling us what to move. Just pitch that. Get rid of that. Lord, I will move when you say move. I will wait. I will live in my waiting. I will live in the fulfillment of my promises. I will live whether I'm married. I will live whether I am single. I will live if I have children. I will live if I don't have children. I will live regardless of the stuff, because before all of that, I am your daughter. I am your son. I am yours. I am yours. There's a whatever political TV shows, sitcom, I don't, whatever you call it. Having seen, you know, the people interacting with the president, whether it's reality or not or whatever, but a phrase that they always use when the president speaks to them, whether they agree with him or they don't agree with him, the response of his people is always, "I serve at the pleasure of the president." I believe that's, I butchered the quote. Point being, I serve at your pleasure. I serve at your pleasure. I serve at your pleasure. I don't get it. I don't see it. I don't feel like it. I serve at your pleasure, Lord. I serve at your command, Lord. I don't see it. I don't get it. It's annoying right now. Cynthia needs to stop talking. We need to whatever. I serve at your pleasure, Lord. I serve at your pleasure, Lord. Death is all around me. Death is inside of me. I serve at your pleasure, Lord, because I want to live the life that you created me for. You know, and that we need to get to that place where there's no room for death. There's no room for death. There's no room for living a dead life. We can do that. We can live a life and be completely dead. You know, it's time that we forgive our moms, that we release her into the arms of Jesus. If there's anger or bitterness or anger or tension in our relationships, and I'm choosing moms because today is Mother's Day. There's no room for death in a relationship with our spouses, with our children, with our roommate, with our friend. There's no room for death. There should be no room for death. It should be life-giving, 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 life-giving. We need to repent for our bitterness towards God, because I said we're mad if he moves and then we're mad if he doesn't move. Our performance-based connection to the Lord, that needs to be put to death. So a loving, intimate, relational relationship, meaning I don't get angry at the Lord because he hasn't moved. It means, Lord, I love you and I know you and I trust you. So what's the secret? Why am I waiting? Why are we waiting? Does that make sense? We're happy when God does things for us. But as soon as he stops, oh my God, where is he? Why isn't he doing what he said he would do? And the demand begins. That is death, my beloved church. That's death. That leads to death. That leads to a life of death. Relationally, relationship, conversation, interaction, intimacy, trust, hope, love, exchange between the one who created you and the one who is sustaining you. That's love. That's the love relationship. That's being in love with him. And as I said this morning, I just believe that the invitation is about taking off our grave clothes, that he can make everything come alive. He can make everything come alive. He wants to unwrap us. He wants to make us living. He wants to make us alive. He wants us to be living life. I don't know how else to say it. And I believe that in this house we already do, because I see it. I hear it from all of you. You know, for Pastor, when we pray for Pastor Jacob, we're releasing life. That man is living the life that he was created for in prison.
He's living life. He is living the life that God created him for. It probably looks a lot different than what he thought it would look like when he initially said, "Yes, Lord, I am your servant." I don't think he was thinking, "Cool, I'm going to spend 3 years in prison, and then that's when I'll start my ministry." He said, "Yes, Lord, use me. Yes, Lord, at your command, I serve. At your pleasure, I serve." And circumstances have taken him to a prison sentence of 3 years, and the man is living. He's living the life he was created for in a prison cell. How much more can we live the life that we were created for where I am right now? And in this house, I believe that we are a company of people that have grown to weep at death, that has grown to be upset and angered at death. Because if we look at, Jesus, where is it? One of the versions of the account of Lazarus. Let me see if I can find it here really quick. Okay, so I read to you guys one version. This is the Amplified. The first version just stated Jesus wept. The Amplified says, this is the account of Lazarus. When Jesus saw her sobbing and the Jews who came with her sobbing too, he was deeply moved in the spirit to the point of anger at the sorrow caused by death, and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" So there was more than Jesus just weeping because he was sad because a loved one had died. Listen, he was deeply moved in spirit to the point of anger at the sorrow caused by death. And he was troubled and he said, "Where is he so I can speak life into him?" We need to get to that point that when we see death in us, in the relationships, in circumstances, that we don't just cry about it, but that we get angry and that we do something about it. And what that something is declare life, release Jesus, release the Spirit of God that is within us into that place so death cannot win, so death cannot have his way. And that's the first time I ever read that in the Amplified, that he was deeply moved to the point of anger at the sorrow caused by death. Jesus didn't like it. He didn't. So he took care of it. He brought it back to life. And as I was saying, in this house, I believe that that is the heart in this morning. I don't feel like you're doing it, you know, that. I will clarify for clarification's sake, but that's not what the heart of the message is. Like, you're not doing enough, you're not living enough, you're not doing, you're not performing, you're not blah, blah, blah. No. Pitch all of that. The invitation this morning is you are a company of people that loves life, that loves Jesus. So let me take you deeper. Let me take you higher. Let me take you to the next place, which is the responding to his invitation, which is saying, "I want to hate death as much as you do, Jesus." Emotionally, physically, spiritually. I want to become alive. I want to become alive, and I want to be able to bring people and circumstances and situation into life. If I'm single, then I want to live the life you created me for in my singlehood. If I'm married, I want to live that life in my marriedhood. If I'm a mom, then I want to live it in my motherhood. If I'm a father, then I want to live it in my fatherhood. If I am a young woman, a young man, if I'm old, if I'm a child, if I'm breathing on this planet Earth, I want to live that life. I want to live that life, remembering the word from Belgium, that we can't be revived if we haven't died. It all goes back to that. I can't be a life giver and releaser if I haven't died to my stuff, if I haven't died to death, if I haven't died to the things holding me back. Thank you, Lord. Is that on our phone? Thanks, Nick. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Holy One. Lord, before we're anything, we want to be your children. We want to be your son. We want to be your daughter. Before we are anything else, Lord, we want to learn how to live in the waiting. We want to learn how to live in the joyous times. We want to learn how to live at every moment, Father, because you are the resurrection and you are the life. And I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that this morning you are beckoning us. You're calling, you're whispering our name. You're whispering our name as we're laying down to sleep. You're calling us out of the grave, and you're commanding grave clothes off. Off. You're commanding life. You're making things alive in us. You're making things alive, Father. Lord, things that have been squeezed out, snuffed out, Lord God, in us because of life happening at us, Lord. I just thank you that your resurrection life is here to bring life back into those places, Lord. Our passion and our desire for you, Father, not because it's something that I do, Lord, but it's something that I am, something that each of us are, Lord. So we just thank you, Holy One, that as you are visiting with us this morning in a very specific way, and this Mother's Day, Lord, that we celebrate life, Father, the life that you give us, the life that you've created us for, Lord. We want to live that life. We want to live the life, Lord. Live the life, Father, for your kingdom purposes, Lord, for you to be glorified, for people to live. We just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So my conversation with the Lord ended with a song and a picture that I had. And we have flowers here this morning, obviously for our moms, our mothers, because we do want to honor our mothers. At the same time, since we're celebrating life, and that's all of us, man, woman, child, young, old, as I've said about 40 times this morning, there's a variety of roses up here. And this morning, it is a representation, it's a symbol, it's a prophetic act, it's whatever you want to call it, a love gesture from Jesus to you. But there's flowers up here, and let them symbolize life to you today. The red ones were picked for moms, but moms, if you don't like the red one, feel free to pick another one. So allow it to be as we closed this morning while we listen to a song that really was the theme of my conversation with the Lord, really. As we play that and as you are stirred up in your heart, you're welcome, you're invited to come up and grab a flower as a momentum, as a representation, as an act of saying, I want to live the life I was created for. Lord, whatever that means, whatever needs to get out of my way, then that needs to get out of my way because I want to live that life that I was created for. You can take it for yourself, or you can take it and bless somebody else that you've been wanting to draw into living a life that they were created for. Was that clear as mud? So you can take it for yourself as a declaration of, yes, Lord, your servant is listening and ready. Make me alive, Lord. Make me alive. And or you can take one for your mom, your spouse, your dad, your sister, your neighbor, the person that you've been contending for, or maybe the person that you never want to talk to again. Allow the Lord to bring life. I hope my I've been able to articulate to you wonderful, amazing, life-loving people the heart of the Lord, which is live. Live because of him, not because of your outside circumstance. Those things change. Those things change. They, you know, your things change so quickly. Let's not live our life based on things that are temporary and move and can shift on a blink of an eye. Let's live life position on the truth that he is life and that he is resurrection, that he wants to use you because you are an anointed one. He wants to use you to set nations free, and that's not, it's not a joke. It's not a sweet by and by. It's not something that we say at Frontline to make ourselves feel better. That is the heart of God, to set people free. And in order for that to happen, we need to own it. I need to own it, and I need to live my life so those around me can live theirs. Before I'm a wife, before I'm a mom, before I am who I am a daughter of the King. You are a daughter and you are a son. If we can play that. So love you. God bless you. See you on Tuesday. See you on Sunday. The team will be back next Sunday. Woo! So as the song plays out, can you turn that up, like, really, really loud? Louder.
In the mirror, all that I see is your grace looking back at me. I'm not the man that I used to be. You're the song, you're the song rising from my heart. Everything comes alive. Everything comes alive. Everything comes alive. Everything comes alive. And you. In the evening when my bones are tired, you're my strength and my heart's desire. You're the light when the sun expires. I'm not lost with you, I'm home. I didn't find you on my own. You're the song, you're the song rising from my heart. Everything comes alive.